Well, I hadn't said anything to Bobby about what I had to say tonight, but what I purpose to say will certainly involve the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'd like for us to start by reading just a statement found in Genesis chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. I just want to read this statement because it kind of brings in focus what we're about to say, and that is that this is a statement you hear. We're living in perilous times. These are the end days. Well, the end days started with the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they continue until the second advent. These are the end days. There's no question about that. And they are indeed days that many questions are raised about the spirit of the day in which we live. In Genesis chapter 6, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." You know, you raise a question in your mind. You think conditions then were any worse than they are now? Certainly, today is a day that causes grave concern to those of us that are believers. How long, Lord, how long? We certainly believe that our God is long-suffering, and He's kind and merciful. But how long? Hardly a day passes by that if I'm out and with other people and things, someone will say, "Be good if the Lord came today. I'm just looking for the return of the Lord." And that seems to be fairly common among the Lord's people, thinking about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive His own unto Himself. In a sense, I heard someone say recently, "He's going to rescue me out of this world. Rescue me." As if you were drowning. It's if you were in perilous situations. You're about to perish in this world. You want to be rescued. I don't know how many of you feel that way about it. I don't really know how I feel about it myself. I say it often. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm prepared. And of course, we do make comments about the very fact that we are so thankful we are ready. I'm ready. What the Lord did to provide salvation for mankind, I'm so thankful that message has reached us. And we have responded and we are safe and secure in the ark. And with us, that ark and that place of safety is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I think what you detect among some people a passage that I'd like for us to read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 just a few verses there, but I think it sets the stage for what we're thinking about and what we would like to comment about tonight. Because I think we want to know what to do and how to behave ourselves and what to be engaged in His absence. We can go through the Scriptures and say, He wants me to be fruitful. He wants me to be holy. He wants me to be filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the light as He is the light. All of these things come to mind, but putting that all aside, you do detect that even among the Lord's people, there is a sense of, I'll use the word fear, being fearful. But the Lord hasn't given to us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and all of these things are provided for us in the face of what are very difficult situations. So in 2 Timothy 3, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says, I know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it, from such, turn away. If it's that bad, I would still put it in the same category as the conditions that existed about the time the Lord sent the flood. I'm of the mind that it may, in the mind of God, be even worse. In the light of what has been shared from the heart of God with mankind, God has provided an escape from the judgment of God that is to fall upon the face of the earth and mankind. And man has turned down the invitation. So, in the light of all of this, I would say, in the mind of God, it's more serious now than it was then. If you have light and you reject that light, I think that's double responsibility. I think you are without excuse. I don't believe mankind today on the face of the earth is without excuse. They have no excuse for not receiving what God has provided. Pretty well publicized what God has provided. I believe the gospel has gone around the world. It's hard to even think of a place on the face of the earth today where the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ hasn't been told forth. You've got radio, television, you've got missionaries that have gone out from this country and around the world. There are people that have devoted their lives completely to telling the old, old story of Jesus and His love. And we're still lost. I don't know what, if you were to take a numbering today as to how many you think are saved by the grace of God living on the face of the earth as compared to the total population, I don't know what it would come up with. Gibbet, I was just talking before the meeting. There's a whole lot of people that say they're Christians that it don't take you but just a few minutes to realize they're nothing but just got a little religion. It may be church members, and that has been substituted, and certainly Satan has done a clever job of deceiving people. I quote this verse quite often because I think it's so important that we know that the God of this world blinds the minds of those who will not believe the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, lest the light should shine in. But God has sent light into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. People love their sin. If you spend any part of your life as an unsaved person, and you had all those pet things you liked to do that you found pleasure in, you say, I loved it. I loved it. And there is pleasure in sin. We're not, no use denying that. But there is no excuse acceptable in God's face to say, this is my excuse, and it's a valid excuse. There is none. Well, in view of the fact that I use the word fearful, fear is in the hearts of many people, not knowing what is going to happen next. Well, the next thing of real importance to you and me is the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the next thing that we're looking for. Signs? Well, some people want signs. This is a good sign. This is a good sign. Oh, it is? But signs can be so deceiving. And there are a lot of people today that could deceive any of us into thinking perhaps that they are true believers. And you would have to really put them to the test. And the way that I've always found that would only satisfy me about their salvation is, what do they think of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do they think about what He has done? What do they think about Him as a person? Is He just a man, or is He the God-man? Is He God manifest in flesh? All of these things, when you begin to delve into what a person believes, you soon discover he don't know what it's all about. Religion is just something that you have to be sincere about. I do the best I can. And you know a lot of people that will tell you that in the heartbeat. I'm just doing the best I can. And God will have to accept that. And you tell them, well, maybe you don't have to accept that. What if He doesn't accept that? Well, too bad. Too bad. You see, it tells you that mankind in his sin really cannot embrace and understand the grace, the mercy of God as it should be understood. It takes enlightenment from heaven to ever bring us out of the darkness, out of the night, out of the darkness of sin, being dead and needing new life. So, while we're awaiting the coming of the Lord, and let's think about it in terms of, we do it, it's been done 1,000 times, I suppose, from this platform. He may come today. He may. He may. And I can say I hope He does. But I don't know definitively that He's coming today. Nobody knows. But He said He's coming. And He's going to receive us unto Himself. In the meantime, we're living in a world, a day, that is called the last days, They're called perilous times, distressing times. But we're not sure, are we, when he's coming? He's coming. I made a list of some things that, since we're living in the last days, since we're here, and since this is our position, that we're awaiting the return of the Lord, has the Lord taken that into account and provided us with what we need to satisfy us in our souls until he gets here to receive us unto himself? Am I satisfied with what God has provided up to this point in time? Has he done everything that needs to be done? Well, I think he has. The first thing that I took attention to was, these are perilous times, but the Spirit of God comes and dwells in a man the very moment he puts his faith in Christ. The very moment that you made that decision to accept Christ as your Savior, you received eternal life. The Spirit of God was dwelling in you as a believer. The Lord Jesus Christ calls the Spirit of God, I'll send you another comforter. Another comforter. Well, if he has sent me another comforter, one just like him, and this other comforter will provide for me everything that I need, he will guide me, direct me, he will influence me in every way that I need to be influenced to stay happy and content and victorious in Christ. That's what the Spirit of God is doing in you and me. Does it ever seem to you that you get a little eerie feeling? There's someone that lives in me. Yes, Christ lives in me, and I live in Christ. What is your position? I am in Christ. I am in Christ. I have accepted Him. And when I accepted Him, He took up His dwelling place in me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So, the Spirit of God dwells in each believer, ministering to the needs of the believer. That Holy Comforter, guiding and directing us in a pathway of righteousness, all for the glory of God. But you know what sometimes fails that to work in the life of a believer is that I started to say they don't believe it, but if they believe it, they're not appropriating and it doesn't mean anything to them. I hope you understand what I'm saying. There are people that say they believe things, but it doesn't mean anything to them. It's so casual. They can talk about it casual. They don't talk about it like it's real. You know what I'm talking about? It just doesn't seem like it's real. They do not seem to sense that they are indwelt by the power of God through His Spirit. And you can tell it because so often their minds and their actions are such that you say, if he really believes that, it hasn't had much impact on his life. His walk, the way he conducts himself in this world, just doesn't seem like this reality there. If it is, he's not appreciated. He never speaks or says anything about how he rejoices in the Lord. Holy Spirit, faithful God, ever near the Christian side, gently lead us by thy hand. We're pilgrims in a desert land. A man wrote those words a long time ago. Well, the one thing that the Spirit of God uses is the Word of God. And I just listed four things. You could add volumes to this. That unfailing strength that you can draw through the Word of God. You know and I know how often you've heard from this platform someone urging us, read, study, and meditate upon the Word of God. Casual reading of the Scriptures, I'm not putting it down, it may help some. It helps some. Like Carol McKay said, you know, you pour water through a basket, even though it's got a bad leak in it, and the water just runs through and runs through. Say, well, at least it's getting clean. So, I'm not minimizing the value of the Word of God if you just read it. But the value God wants you to get out of it is to hear Him speaking to you. He wants the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and minister it to my soul's need so that I sense it and I know it. God just spoke to me. God is speaking to me. I've heard many of you say that. God has been speaking to me. How does He speak to you? Through His Word. Well, what happens to a person that he doesn't put any value upon reading the Scriptures? He doesn't put any value upon meditation upon the Word of God. I listened to a sermon recently. I wanted to say hallelujah, praise the Lord over and over. The man says, meditation today by God's people is no more. We've got all kind of Bible reading schedules and things. Meditation. Quietly drawing aside and letting God speak to you. You know, people make a lot of preparation when they're going into the presence of some dignitary, maybe like the president or someone of high place in this world. They really value that. I'm going to have an audience with the king, the queen, the whoever. Maybe it only happens once in a lifetime. I heard a fellow say one time, I shook the hand of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That's what he said. He said, I shook the hand of President Roosevelt. I didn't realize it. Have you washed your hand since then? I mean, he looked like he put so much value upon it. Put it in your pocket. Don't take it out anymore. God knows he put a lot of value shaking hands with the president. Brother, what about an audience with our God and Him speaking to us? It's a personal thing. It's very personal. God spoke to me. Does that mean anything to you and me? Yes, God spoke to me. I spent some time meditating upon the Word of God. Gibeah certainly drove it home to our hearts. If the heart isn't in action, if something doesn't take place in the heart, I doubt if anything's taking place. You can go through all kind of routines. You can read all you want to. Books, books, books. Read them. Listen to messages. But until that heart in the individual is spoken to, and that heart responds, the whole heart, God knows what He has started in those messages. It just reminds you of what an important place the heart occupies in this relationship that we have with God. He wants our hearts. And the Word of God certainly plays such an important role. how important for us to not just study and read it, but to meditate upon it. Meditate upon the Word of God. To be obeying the authority of the Word of God. God told me to do this, and I'm doing it. Why? Because God told me to do it. Someone said, I don't see any value in that. Well, I don't care what you see value in. I put value upon what God told me to do. And you know and I know, there's so many different interpretations sometimes of what God has said to His people that you end up with a variety. Well, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. And sometimes that is used as an excuse. Well, I'll tell you this, brother and sister, I'm pretty definite about this. I don't think He has but one way. You say, aren't there multiple choice stuff? Oh, no. Oh, no, don't give me that multiple choice stuff. God, in His wisdom, has directed us in His way and no other way. No other way. That's why I have to dare. I dare to say this because I know it sounds kind of bad, but I believe every one of us get out of the way sometime during the day, every day we live. We sin. And sin takes you away from God's way. God wants us on that pathway of righteousness for His name's sake. And the Word of God makes that so plain and so clear. Well, there's something beyond that. And I'd like to hear more of God's people talk about it. We have the throne of grace. We have the throne of grace. And God invites us, that passage in Hebrews, where God invites us to come boldly with assurance, perfect confidence that this invitation is real. I want you to come to this throne of grace. In your time of need, I want you to trust me as being able to handle your need. Well, I don't know if the Lord could handle this or not. Oh, you don't? He created all things. He created you. What makes you think that you are so important that you can do something or say something that He can't take care of it? Oh, no. Don't be foolish. I want you to come to me and tell me what it is that's bothering you. He already knows. But tell me about it. Share it with me. I'm rich in mercy. I'll take care of it if you let me, if you truly trust me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Don't you see, coming to this throne of grace. He put it there for us. Come boldly. Oh, don't be shy. Oh, well, I don't know whether I should go or not. I don't know. I've never been before. I've never followed that teaching in Scripture. I didn't know that it was that important to take just everything to the Lord. Well, it's important to the Lord. It's important to our God to have us bring everything to Him. We belong to Him. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. This body of ours is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not my own. I was purchased with a price. Man, don't that tell? That tells us volumes about how God looks at you and me. We're not our own. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. I'm one of those that's going to spend eternity with Him. And should I dare say, I don't know whether I should go tell Him about this or not. He wants us to tell Him about it. The throne of grace. that today perhaps in the church, the body of Christ, is something that is neglected a whole lot by God's people. I come to the last of these things that I thought about, and that's prayer. And I'm so thankful that we're here tonight. This place ought to be full, you know. If God's people that are called by His name, if they really felt like it was important to pray and to make an arrangement whereby I will be there when the prayer meeting starts, my whole life will be centered by a time that I spend before the throne of grace and in the presence of God calling upon Him. We've exercised our hearts as a company of believers to call upon the Lord. There's things going to be mentioned here tonight. I can't solve them. You can't solve them. But we're calling on someone that can solve them. Do you find any comfort in that? Do you find anything that strengthens your faith in that? I have someone I can call upon. He can solve that problem. He can solve that problem. People all the time are looking for somebody that can help solve their problems. They're going to the wrong place. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to someone, perhaps a fine counselor that might know a whole lot, but you're putting more confidence in him than you are your God. I'm one of those that believes the God that we serve, He can solve any of our problems. Yes, I said any of them. Any problem we've got, He can solve it for us when we in faith call upon Him. And prayer. I listed some things. You remember that story about Ahab and Elijah? You know, Elijah had challenged Ahab and Jezebel about all those prophets of Baal and so forth. And when you get to this passage in Scripture, 1 Kings chapter 18, 42, it says that Ahab, ho-hum, you know, ho-hum about the whole thing. It says Ahab, he went up and sat down to eat and to drink. I'll just wait and see what happened. You know. Elijah, he went up to the top of Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. You might say, I'd be embarrassed if somebody caught me in that position. What are you doing? I'm calling upon God, my God, to help me. This is war. Spiritual warfare is being waged. You're embarrassed about being down on your knees and somebody finding you in prayer, laying hold of God to help solve a problem? Shame on you. Shame on me. If I've ever embarrassed in any way when I call upon my God. You know what happened. The prophet of Baal, prophets of Baal and Ahab and all the rest, they got everything that was coming to them. Ezra back from Babylon in captivity, and all they said he was of a heavy heart and overwhelmed in spirit because of the transgressions of God's people. Don't think it's not real today, brother and sister in Christ. I'm telling you, there are things that are happening today in the way of compromise among God's people. All kind of things are being done. All kind of new ways are being devised to some way circumvent being completely devoted and loyal to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trying to get to God without getting by the cross and going to the cross. There is no other way. Our only access into the presence of God is through Him. So if anybody offers you some other way, oh, we've got a new way of doing it. You have? Well, you keep it. I'm going to stick to the one that the book says. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Prayer in His name and for His glory and for His honor. Paul said, I bow my knees in the presence of God. No, I've said this to you, and I don't know, you probably laughed at me about it, but I've been in some of these old church buildings. We went up to a place not long ago, and the pews there, and they had a prayer rail in there, in between each row. And at a time of prayer, the people go forward and put their knees down on the prayer rail in the pew. Wouldn't hurt us to limber up our knees a little bit. Got arthritis in them. You might have to have somebody help you up. It'd be worth it. Get God's people down on their faces. Get God's people down on their knees. And do what God would find, I believe, well-pleasing. Our Lord knelt down. Think about that prayer that He made in the Garden of Gethsemane. He fell down on His face before the Lord. Boy, if you don't think that was grief, if you don't think there was a turmoil going on in the mind and the soul of the Son of God, you just don't know. Man, you meditate upon that. Someone has said that is really holy ground. Brother, you are treading on holy ground when you go into the presence of the Lord Jesus, when He's crying out to God, my God, my God. Nobody could know sin like He knew sin. Worst sin in the world. He thought, I know all about sin. Oh, you do? You just think you do. Do you know the results of sin? Do you know what will have to be made as payment for sin? Do you know somebody's already made payment for your sin? He did it down on His knees in His heart and soul. And He hung on a cross. And He was made sin. He made a sacrifice for the sin of every dirty, filthy thing any one of us has ever done. He paid for it. He paid for it. That's why we're so special to Him. He thinks a lot more of us than we think of ourselves. Man, He paid the price. That's why we're not our own. We were purchased with a price. The precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Well, this is enough. We need to get on our knees before the throne of grace. Brother said a long time ago, pray when you feel like it. Pray till you feel like it. When you do feel like it, keep on praying. You may start out and you say, well, I don't feel like prayer right now. Try it out. Get out on your knees. Start crying out to the Lord. And the Spirit of God that indwells you will bring to mind the truth of the Word. He'll bring your mind back into focus with what God has in mind. And you'll start praying and you'll say, thank you, Lord, for never leaving me nor forsaking me. I do so many foolish things. We're living in the last days. They're perilous times. He's coming. I don't know when.